Good evening and welcome to the local news. Today is Thursday, October 17th. I'm Lisa Music reporting for KMUD. In tonight's news, Lori Dangler discusses preparation and surviving the big one in honor of the great shakeout drill. And high fire risk and freeze warnings in effect overnight. Stay tuned, news on those stories coming right up. Today, a worldwide earthquake drill took place as part of the Great Shakeout. Lori Dangler, an emeritus professor of geology, discussed the importance of the Great Shakeout drill, marking its 15th year in California.
I'm Lori Dangler, emeritus professor of geology at Cal Poly Humboldt, and have been feeling and studying North Coast earthquakes since, 1978.
Dangler shared the purpose and history of the Great Shakeout and the safety measures put to test during the 2022 earthquake.
For us, it's kind of exciting because it's year number 15 of all of California being part of the Great Shakeout. What is the Shakeout? It's focused around a drill. Pretending that there's an earthquake and doing what you should do when the ground starts to shake, which if you are an able-bodied person, means dropping to the ground right where you are. And if you're inside and there happens to be a desk or table nearby, scooching under it and holding on. That's clearly the safest way to ride out an earthquake. But as I've gotten older, I could certainly do that a number of years ago, but I've had 2 knee replacement surgeries and I don't really want to get on the ground anymore. And the good news is that I can still participate in Shakeout just by staying where I'm at, sitting in a chair, bending over, putting my arm over the back of my neck to protect it. That's our most vulnerable part. And staying there. The real bottom line is when the ground starts to shake, the earth is moving. We want you to stay as still as possible, to stay in that one spot. We really learned this it was an interesting unintended experiment on December 20th, 2022. When many of you listening were very rudely awakened at 2:34 a.m., and the ground shaking was so strong that most of you could not move or could not get out of bed. And that turned out to be a really good thing because you stayed put. And as a result, we had very, very few injuries in what was really one of the strongest shaking events in California's history. So the main point of the shakeout drill is to hold your instincts at bay, and please don't run out the door because you're putting yourself at risk by doing that. Drop cover, hold on if you are physically able, but if you have some mobility issues, just staying where you are and trying to remember to breathe, and that is the best way to get through our next earthquake.
The Great Shakeout aims to enhance and refresh residences' earthquake safety plans and dispel myths such as running to doorways or outside.
Well, there are a lot of myths, and it's important to have a clear picture as possible of what happens in earthquakes, what causes earthquakes, and very straightforward information on how best to protect yourself. So, we have earthquakes because we live in a very tectonically active place where 3 of these giant plates on the Earth's surface meet, and we don't have earthquakes just at the point where they meet. We actually have earthquakes throughout Humboldt County, the North Coast, Mendocino County, throughout California. And in fact, if you wait long enough, you can experience an earthquake anywhere in the world because we are a dynamic planet. So we've had earthquakes in the past. We will have them again in the future. We have no way to predict them other than in the few seconds after the earthquake has actually started. If you have a MyShake app on your phone, you may get notification that an earthquake is occurring, and in the next few seconds, you may be feeling strong ground shaking and an alert to, again, do the right thing. Drop, cover, and hold on if you're able to. Stay put like I do. But we cannot predict earthquakes any more than that at this point. I mean, people have been trying to do this for well over a century, and we're not anywhere close yet to reliable earthquake prediction on the scale of hours or days, and certainly not weeks or months. So given that we live in a very seismically active place, the fact that we've had now about a year that's been fairly quiet, that doesn't mean you should be forgetting your earthquake skills and drills, because earthquakes often will not announce themselves in any way in terms of increased activity before we get another big one. In fact, the period between January 2010, when we had a strong earthquake offshore of Eureka, we had aftershocks of that for about 6-7 months. But after that aftershock sequence died down, things were really quiet on the North Coast, seismically speaking, until the December 2021 earthquake. And then we had those two big earthquakes a year apart, a pretty energetic aftershock sequence. Now it's definitely quieted down. But don't count on having another 10 years of, or 11, of things being quiet. At any point, we certainly could have an earthquake as large as those quakes. And they're not necessarily in the Triple Junction. In 1954, we had a similar sized earthquake, 6.5, sort of southeast of Blue Lake. In 1932, we had a similar sized earthquake sitting essentially right underneath Arcata. So pretty much anywhere, if you're listening to this recording, this report, if you wait long enough, you will certainly experience a strong earthquake.
How you prepare for an earthquake may depend on your location and or your particular situation.
You know, we know we have earthquakes, so can we live with them? And some people will say, oh, earthquakes happen and there's nothing I can do about it and we're all going to die. First of all, earthquakes, at least on the North Coast, they basically don't kill people. We've had two earthquake deaths in the historic record going back to about 1850 that were caused by actual shaking damage. And there are many other things that can affect you here on the North Coast that kill and injure at a much, much higher rate. So the important thing to remember with earthquakes is, number one, you're going to survive. And number two, how you survive and how your family survives and your community survives, the actions you've taken ahead of time can make a huge difference. So I'm sure everyone has been aware of the aftermath of Milton and Helene, the hurricanes that hit the southeastern United States. And I think the experiences, particularly in North Carolina, mimic a lot what we might expect in a really large earthquake on the North Coast. We're talking about small communities that are separated from one another by bridges, steep slopes that produce landslides. We end up with isolated islands of humanity. In other words, you've survived the flood, the hurricane, but there's no way you can get in your car and go down to a market to get food. There's no way you can pick up your phone and call your kids if they aren't in your same isolated island. And this is exactly the sort of thing that a very large earthquake or a repeat of the 64 flood. So we're almost to the 60-year remembrance of the Christmas floods of 1964. And those floods very much did to the North Coast what Helene did in North Carolina. Isolated communities, communities were on their own. And there are some areas where, still full-scale relief efforts have not been able to be put into place. And so it really becomes important to, first of all, be able to survive on your own for at least 2 weeks. And if you're in a more remote spot, even longer. That means food and water. That means medication. That means pet foods, animal supplies. If you have special medical conditions that require power, do you have a working generator? All of those things. I mean, everyone's situation is different. And this is what I call having the talk. Shakeout is a great time to gather your family together and talk about what your situation is. Do you have children that go to school across a major bridge? Do you work apart from one another? Do you have special medical considerations? We've got all of this outlined in our newest, latest, and greatest edition of Living on Shaky Ground. And we're happy to provide people with copies of our, it's a 36-page magazine that walks through why we have earthquakes, why we have tsunamis, what they are, and most importantly, what we call the 7 steps to earthquake and tsunami safety.
And living on the North Coast means living on the most seismically active area in the contiguous United States. When asked to explain why we have so much activity here on the North Coast, Dangler said,
"Well, it's all has to do with geology and the fact that we have these three giant plates, these outer parts of the Earth's surface that are all kind of grinding together in our area. We have three major fault systems that all come together in the Cape Mendocino area. We've got the San Andreas Fault. Yes, 1906, we had San Andreas earthquake damage, probably the strongest earthquake damage in our written historic record. So it was not just in San Francisco. It came all the way up to Cape Mendocino and was devastating in southern Humboldt and knocked down chimneys as far away as Arcata and Blue Lake. We have the Mendocino Fault that extends straight offshore from Cape Mendocino. It doesn't tend to be as problematic because most of those earthquakes are offshore, but we've had sevens on that, and they certainly can affect the southern Humboldt area. And then we've got the great big one, the Cascadia Subduction Zone that extends from Cape Mendocino all the way up north to Vancouver Island, Canada. It last ruptured in 1700. It could rupture this afternoon. It could rupture again 300 years from now. So it's certainly the big one in terms of the area of devastation and the fact that it is likely to produce a significant tsunami shortly afterwards. But all of that stress in the Triple Junction area means that we have faults both beneath us and offshore, all of which can produce magnitude 6 and 7 earthquakes at any time. So we can thank Mother Nature for the dynamic environment and our beautiful coastlines, but we have to respect that it comes with a potential downside in that the reason we have the lands uplifted is because earthquakes have done that in the past.
Dangler wants today's great shakeout to be the catalyst for conversations so that emergency plans for the big one can be set in place.
Well, the most important thing is actually very easy and it won't cost you a penny. And that is to talk to someone at work, in your family, in your neighborhood about, oh, gee, you know, we haven't had a big earthquake in a little while now. What would we do if we had an earthquake? How well is our neighborhood prepared? Do I even know my neighbors? Talking is absolutely the essential first step, because you really don't ever take action without having talked about it first. So I'm really hoping that people spend a few moments at the dinner table, at the market, wherever you happen to be, saying, huh, let's think about earthquakes. There's a wonderful movement on the North Coast of communities really developing resilience plans, recognizing that a particular community is likely to be on their own for days, maybe weeks. The Community Emergency Response Team, or CERT, there's about a dozen now on the North Coast, but there are a lot of neighborhoods that haven't really developed those yet. And if you're in a neighborhood where, you know, you're not likely to have anybody get to you to help you in those first days and weeks, and keep in mind, that's what is going to happen, especially with a really large earthquake, where even federal response is going to be very distributed. I mean, assume that no one is going to be able to knock on your door and say, are you all right, in the first week, unless it's a neighbor that you've already really talked to ahead of time. And so this is really where it's on us. Don't expect some outside entity to be able to solve all the problems, because the definition of a disaster is something that is too big for local resources to handle. We do not have enough ambulances, medical facilities, staff, fire people, etc., to be able to respond to all of the needs that could arise in those first few hours of a really major disaster. So we have to do it. And fortunately, on the North Coast, we have a pretty resilient population, and most folks are pretty good at taking care of themselves and those nearby. But we're going to be stressed in a really major earthquake, that we may need to go beyond what we've already got in place. And so here's where exploring things like CERT can really be worthwhile. But if nothing else, just kind of getting to know the people in your neighborhood, especially the folks that have moved here more recently. I'm not as concerned about people who've been here for decades. You know, they've kind of figured out how to live on the North Coast. But we have a lot of people that have moved here in the last few years that really aren't aware of either our hazards or how isolated we can potentially become.
Earthquake preparedness information specific to the North Coast is available online.
An easy place is the Redwood Coast Tsunami Work Group website. All you have to do is Google or use your browser, RCTWG, and it will take you there, and you can get the copy. You can read Living on Shaky Ground. You can read about past earthquakes and tsunamis. Lots of different materials. There are activities for kids. We try to make it interesting and as much as possible fun, because fear does not motivate people to take action. Whereas making your own grab and go kit, we've got this wonderful, you can take an old t-shirt, cut it up and make a wonderful grab and go kit that does not require a sewing machine. So we've got some fun things like that on the website as well.
Parting thoughts from Dangler, who we turn to for all things earthquake related.
The last thing I want to leave you with is, you have it in your power to make a difference. in terms of how you, your family, your business, your larger community, how well you make it through the next disaster. Communities that are tight before something like that happens, they recover much more quickly than the ones where people are isolated from one another, where there's a lot of distrust. They're the communities that won't make it through. So this is really an opportunity to build your community. And I really want to encourage everyone who, if all you do is talk about drop, cover, and hold, I hope you do drop, cover, and hold, or stay in your chair, register your participation on the ShakeOut website, shakeout.org. And the reason I really encourage groups to do this is that it's one way to kind of track what parts of the community are really engaged and what parts aren't. So, what we found in the recent years is the medical community has become much more engaged in ShakeOut. We have great, the highest numbers ever this year of hospitals, doctor's offices, medical groups participating. And that's great because I want them to be aware of ShakeOut. But we have very low participation levels from businesses. And businesses, especially small businesses, are the most vulnerable to earthquakes. After the 1994 Northridge earthquake, about 80% of the small businesses in the area of strong ground shaking, 2 years after the earthquake, they had gone out of business. So I really would like to see more involvement from the business community, from the hospitality industry, folks that have hotels, motels, tourist-oriented businesses, because you're likely to have people that don't know anything about earthquakes. So we want to expand and grow and build healthy communities so that when CNN puts a microphone in my face and they ask me how many people died, I get to say no one, because we all knew what to do when the ground shook.
We here at KMUD participated in the Great Shakeout, spurring conversations about emergency preparedness. Emergencies are a major consideration for the KMUD News team as we disseminate vital information from our county and state partners to our listeners in the event of an emergency. Consider having a portable radio as part of your emergency supplies and tune in to Redwood Community Radio at the top and bottom of each hour during emergencies. For more information on local earthquake resources, visit kmud.org for links to resources discussed in this broadcast. Residents of the North Coast may feel a bit of weather whiplash with rising and falling temps, layering up for whatever weather Mother Nature may throw their way. With the first freeze warning of the season upon us, we turn to our partners at the National Weather Service for the latest forecast.
My name is Edward Swafford. I'm a lead meteorologist at the National Weather Service here in Eureka, California. We're looking at possible frost and freeze, looking like Trinity, and it'll be from 1 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Friday. Southern Humboldt Interior, Northern Trinity, Southern Trinity, Mendocino areas, including Willits, Ruth, Big Bar, Hayfork, Junction City, Carville, Weaverville. But the freeze warning will be for sub-freezing temperatures as low as 30. We're advising people to pull in their pets, and also for crops' sake, you want to take mitigating circumstances to alleviate your crop kill or whatever sensitive vegetation that you have. You'll need to take actions for. There's also a frost advisory to a lesser extent. It's not as bad as obviously a freeze. But the frost advisory will be for Southern Mendo, Coast and Interior, Boonville, Talmadge, Hopland, Calpella, Philo, those areas. And that'll be also from 1 a.m. to 10 a.m. Friday.
In addition to the freeze and frost warnings, Lake County has a red flag warning going into effect tonight at 11 p.m., lasting through Saturday.
For the major fire concern is for Lake County. And what's going on is we have strong offshore winds, really low humidity, and the fuels that we're concerned with are extremely dry. And this is usually the time of year that we have, really serious fire events that happen. And it's a lot of time it's due to the climatology for the time of the year. More specifically, we have like a low pressure or a deep trough that comes through like Oregon and then kind of slides down on the inside slider. This low pressure system will ramp up winds over our area. There's a high pressure system offshore. And then with the low pressure that kind of goes towards the Great Basin, this causes an adverse kind of wind event, and that's what we're looking at. So, yeah, we're in red flag criteria for Lower Lake County. We were even debating maybe a wind advisory for Mendocino, but it's bordering right on the threshold of putting up a high wind advisory. But the main concern is for Lake County, Southern Lake County.
The unstable weather pattern may bring a bout of rain next week, though the patterns have made it difficult for meteorologists to predict exactly when and how much precipitation may fall.
As far as rain goes, looking at like Monday for like a light rain, and like I said, we're in a bit of a transitional period, so we get little short spells of rain, and it's been challenging to nail down accumulation amounts, mainly because some of the dynamics that we need to get a really good rain, we're not really getting. There's not a whole lot of moisture in the atmosphere, so we're not really getting the buoyancy, that we're looking for.
The alternating weather patterns is indicative of the transitional season as we head into cooler weather.
We're definitely getting into cooler times, but it's going to be a bit unsettled as far as temperature goes, because Tuesday warms up a little bit again, and then looking at Wednesday warms back up. So trend-wise, we're still kind of transitioning a bit. So we do have these cold spells coming through, and with the upper air pattern still kind of swinging a lot of lows to our north, we seem to have a lot of like high pressure that builds offshore here. So it protects us a bit.
Though the cooler weather and occasional showers may entice you to light your burn pile on fire, as the red flag warning in Lake County indicates, we are squarely in fire season, with abundant dry fuel and driving winds. The burn ban remains in effect regardless of the temperature gauge dropping. For burn information, visit our daily Monday through Friday Community Safety and Awareness Report at kmud.org. That's all for tonight's broadcast. Thank you for listening. KMUD News is online. You can find us on kmud.org, SoundCloud, Instagram, and Facebook. That's where you can see related stories, links, and videos. If you have questions or suggestions, you can give us a call at 707-923-2605 or send an email to news@kmud.org. Reporting from the KMUD studio in Redway, I'm Lisa Music.